This episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.
Welcome back to The Last Storm. My name is Mark, and I'm back with Dave. And we're getting this episode recorded at the beginning of Thanksgiving. Hopefully you guys are all having a good time. And if you get a little bit bored listening to your family argue about politics, listen to us talk, because we're just going to agree about the Thunder.
Hey, that's a great point, man. Last night I had my grandparents over. We had a great time. And all I could do is hope that I could watch the Thunder game. And it was just one of those things where we obviously were playing a very good team last night with the Jazz. And I felt really confident, you know, from the last episode that Mark and I did, I felt very confident about the way that we were able to play this game. I think I even mentioned that I thought it was going to be a single-digit game. So, you know, this is where the Thunder is right now. They're playing at a very high level, and it's really exciting to watch. I want to throw this out as we're getting ready to start the pod. Is yesterday, our oldest starter was Aaron Wiggins. He was 22 years old and 8 months. It was his first start of the year and of his career in the NBA. So he gets the nod yesterday. And, man, I got to say, is we had five guys on the floor that were under the age of 23. That's outstanding. That was our starting lineup today or yesterday, and I was completely stoked about it.
Yeah, obviously in pretty big contrast to a team like the Jazz, who have a really established starting five of Royce O'Neal, Bogdanović, Gobert, Mitchell, and Conley. I mean, Conley himself has by far more experience than our entire starting group combined, probably. Maybe even all the players that we had playing the game combined. That's probably exaggerating, but Mike Conley is an OG. He's been there forever. He's been in the league forever. And then the Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert combination, that's going to be tough. But overall, I thought we did really well. It's just one of those types of games where, you know, you go out there, you compete for 48 minutes, you do it together. You don't really look at who you don't have. And, you know, now we're talking about it, but, you know, without SGA out on the court, you're going to have to do your best as a team to compete. They had six players in double figures, and they really did well. The most anybody scored was Jordan Clarkson with 20 points for them. So they got a lot of contributions. They got 15 off the bench from Rudy Gobert, Rudy Gay. Bogdanović, 19 points. Gobert, 15. Conley, 18. And Mitchell, 13. So defensively, we had our hands full, but I thought we did a really good job. Anytime you hold a player like Mitchell to 6 of 16 shooting for 13 points, I call that a win. We had to figure out how to, you know, close the game, keep it in it, give us ourselves a chance to win the game. But like I mentioned earlier yesterday, with 3 minutes left in the third quarter, Lu Dort had 25 points, and he ended the game with 27 points. So we were going to have to figure out where that scoring was coming from. Josh Giddey provided some of it for us, but, you know, today it was a day we really needed a third score. We had Kenny and Jeremiah Robinson-Earl with 13 and 12 each, but, you know, if we had another player right around that 20 mark, I think we win this game.
So, Mark, you're saying if we have Shea, we win the game, and I'm 100% in agreement with that. This outcome is completely different with Shea on the floor. I think everybody that watches the Thunder and anybody that plays against the Thunder on a regular basis would say the same thing. This team is great, but without Shea, we're all right. You know, like, that's the way it is. Like, you know, Coach D talking about our effectiveness on offense and how we've been struggling at being effective consistently on offense. These are things that we're going to continue to struggle with throughout the season. And the reality is that's okay, because we're all going to be able to get through things, and we're going to be able to see how this team is rolling, how this team is putting things together. And it's just a matter about being patient and waiting for the team to be able to come out and do what's right. And like Mark said, we saw this team do some amazing things. I want to talk about the under the 8 minute mark when this team was fighting back. We wanted to get into the game. There was 8 minutes left in the game. Fourth quarter, the Jazz are playing really, really well. And all of a sudden, JRE comes down and hits a three, right? Then we get Dort comes down and hits a three, and then we get a layup. And next thing you know, we're up by one. That was really impressive, because I think it was only like a 60-second time period that happened, maybe even less. And to me, that's really exciting, because you have Josh Giddey leading the offense and passing the ball and creating space for everybody else. And you're getting people like Dort and JRE to get these shots. And I have to say, JRE is completely surprising me. I'm blown away by his consistency, his versatility, his shot, the way he plays defense. There was a foul called on him last night for hip checking Gobert. That was just unbelievably ridiculous. I've never seen anything like it. But JRE, he kept his cool. He didn't really complain, and he just got through it. And I've been there before where a ref calls a bad call on you, and you're like, what the fuck? You know, like, and it gets in your head, and then you're taken out of the game. But that's not JRE. He takes it to a whole new level. He's like a vet out there, and I really appreciate what he's doing for this team.
Yeah, and I mentioned it last night, but the combination of Kenny Hustle and Josh Giddey is turning really nice. Kenny Hustle just loves cutting, and he never gives up on a play. And Josh Giddey finds a way to extend plays through pivots and ball fakes. So it's a really great combination. That first half, I mean, Josh Giddey, he opened up that, even the first quarter, just really, really aggressively getting the ball to the basket. One thing I love that he does is that show and go. He gets into the paint. He shows the ball to the big man. They go flying by. Last game, he did one with Clint Capella. He showed it. Clint paused, and then he went really quickly. He went right up. It was just a really fast play. I haven't seen anything quite like that before. And then today, he did something similar. Or last night, he showed the ball, and then whenever the defender went by, he went up. When he gets into the paint, good things happen. It gets really exciting. And like that first half was all about Josh Giddey, man. He understands how to play with good tempo and pace and get everybody involved. He's never worried about getting the ball back once he gives it up. He just goes and he fits into the offense and he gets it back whenever it comes back around. But having the ball move side to side, seeing the way that everybody was out there playing together, yeah, this group doesn't have a lot of experience together, but we're seeing really good things out there. And we took on an extremely experienced team, a team that expects to make it to the conference finals, and we gave them a really good shot. I thought, you know, Baisley did really well. That massive block he had on Gobert at the rim, I mean, that's a highlight of the year for him. I mean, there's just nothing better than him getting out there and putting the effort out. He missed a three-point shot at the beginning of the game, and he followed his own rebound, which is something I haven't seen him do enough, but he did it. He did it aggressively. He got an offensive rebound, and we ended up getting a three out of it. And then when he got the ball on the wing, he knocked down the next three. Good things happen when you hustle. Good things happen when you attack the basket, and that was happening for Baisley yesterday.
Baisley is just taking it to a new level. I know Baisley is one of your favorite players, and you consistently talk about Baisley. And even when we're off air, you're always talking up Baisley, and I love it because I do think that he has that special potential of being, you know, really special. You know, we talked about in the beginning of the season with this team is setting up a baseline. Where's this baseline going to be? How is this team going to get better throughout the season? Well, just over a month ago, we played against the Utah Jazz in our first game. We lost to them by 21 points. Shea was playing in that game. He had 18 points. Josh Giddey had 10 rebounds, and Josh had an high assist with three assists on October 20th. And now we just played against them November 24th, and the score was 110 to 104, so it's a six-point loss there. And I want to say, Donovan Mitchell, that last 6 points that he scored was phenomenal. We held him down to single digits up until that very point. All I got to say is that Dort is phenomenal in every aspect, but when Kenny Hustle came out and played defense like Dort was, it was over. We knew that we were going to have an opportunity to win this game. Then you have Dort with 27 last night. You have Jeremiah Robinson-Earl with 10 rebounds and Giddey with 8 assists. So we're watching the emergence of this team and the baseline get reset. And I love it when we're resetting baselines because that means we're expecting more from this team. And that's exactly what's happening. We've had 4 losses in a row. And that is the most, or we tied at the most losses in a row for the season. We started the season off with 4 losses in a row. Now we get a chance to play against Washington, Houston twice, Memphis, Detroit, and Toronto. These are all winnable games, and I'm really hoping that we can put a few wins together here because this team is rocking. They're ready to play. They're ready to go, and they're looking really, really good right now.
Well, today, I mean, last night was really all about Lu Dort. 27 points, but the way he did it. You know, last night I talked about him, you know, having finesse after having so much power. He gets to the basket. He absorbs contact on a player like Gobert, and then he's able to lay the ball up with soft touch. That's incredibly difficult. We know this because last year he really had trouble doing it. He wasn't very good at it. He came in, this year, and he knew he wanted to improve his finishing around the basket, and he's done that. But we've also seen incredible progression from him from the outside shooting. It used to be at the beginning of the season, he needed to line the ball up a little bit, and now what he's doing is he's taking the shots if they go under the screen. He's being aggressive. He's scoring in every way possible. He's scoring at the basket. He's got that mid-range game, and he's knocking down the three-point shot. His mid-range game is probably where he needs the most work. He had a couple where he really had trouble drawing iron last night, but the way that he puts defense on skates because they feel like they have to sell out to protect the basket, and they also have to run him off the three-point line, that mid-range game is going to open up. So watching him shoot those shots is really good. That progression is really important, and I know anything he puts his mind to, he can do.
Dort, with that a pass that he had last night to Josh Giddey to get us back into the game in the fourth quarter with 20 seconds left in the game, was phenomenal. Dort is just, he's coming in and he's merging into this unbelievable talent that not necessarily we could see in the future and say, okay, he's going to be averaging 20-something points a game for us. Like, there's that hope. Like, last year we talked about the hope that Dort will get it and that he'll be able to put together a bunch of 20-point games in a row and then end up the season averaging 20 points. But that's hope. You know, like, that's all that was. And watching what he's doing now, it's special. Like, there is something in the water in Oklahoma City with developing these guys. And all I got to say is watching Dort, watching Josh Giddey, watching JRE, watching Wiggins, watching Trey Mann, like, watching all these guys together, rookies, second-year players, third-year players, it is unbelievable. Yes, we're the youngest team in the NBA, but we still have 2 30-year-olds. So, you know, like, take that as you want. And I still think it as being one of those things is that, yes, we're the youngest team in the NBA, but we always could be younger. And I'm excited about the way that these guys are playing. You know, we're not giving enough credit to our 2 30-year-olds out there. That is Moose, and that is Derek Favors. Derek Favors and Moose had great games. I really felt phenomenal in the aspect that these guys are understanding their roles. And I think that's the hardest thing to do when you're coming on a team and you're a young player is understanding what roles you have. And I think that's the reason why I get, I get a little bit of emotional. I'm emotionally tied to this team, unlike any other team I've been in the past, is because these guys are so young and they're coming up. And these guys are the same ages as my nephews and some of my nephews. So, you know, there's a lot of passion with each of these guys, and you see them make a mistake and they're so hard on themselves, and you want to be like, hey, calm down, you're all right. But you see Coach D already doing that. Like, Coach D is so good in that aspect of recognizing which players need to be able to relax and they're too hyped up, and he calls them out for it. He is a great coach for these young guys. He's young. He's understanding to each of them. And here's the thing, is because they're both young together, they're going to have a lot of time to grow together. And this is a perfect place for them to do it in Oklahoma City. And I know I talk about it a lot, but this team has really turned out to be, in the first, 13, 14 games, my favorite team of this Oklahoma City Thunder team in a very long time. And, you know, I understand there's going to be a lot of people who are like, well, that's kind of ridiculous, or 18 games. But the reality is, this team is young. This team has talent. This team is the baseline to the teams in the future. So if we can fall in love with this team like they are right now, then it doesn't matter what happens in the future. The future is just a bonus. This team right here is special. That is why Mark and I are here. That is why Mark and I are continuing this, because there's a lot of podcasts in the Oklahoma City Thunder community that are just talking trash, like, hey, we want this guy from the draft. We want this guy from the draft. We want to have 3 top 10 picks. And it's like, what is wrong with these guys? Like, all we want for this team is we want to compete. All we want for this team is we want this team to get draft picks that Sam Presti has in his bookshelf already, or in his safe already. He's got a ton of draft picks. We don't need to lose to get good draft picks. We just have to sit back and let everybody else in the progression of the NBA happen, where old players are leaving, new players are coming, so on and so forth. Good teams become bad teams, and then those draft picks become what we want. And that's what I have to say, is that we, as a fan base, have got to be able to be patient. There is no, we need to win right now. There's not. Because if we want to win right now, What good does that do to us? We got a young team. We want to learn how to play together, how to be as a team, and then the winning will come. And right now, sitting where we're at, 6-12, I feel very, very confident that that is a great record for what we're trying to accomplish. It's not one of those things where we're going to say, if we had Russ and KD and Harden, man, that's a horrible record. It is a horrible record for those guys, but we don't have those guys on our team. We have a young team. Last night, oldest guy that started was 22 years old. That is it. So with that being said, is join us, get excited with us, and keep on watching this young team. And if you are a Josh Giddey fan like we are, I'm telling you, this is the beginning of the Josh Giddey movement in the NBA. There is never going to be a player like Josh Giddey. And that's why I have to say this, is that when I watch and I look at the NBA rankings for the rookies, and he's sitting at number 5, it frustrates me. Because here's the thing. They are all saying if he could score more than X amount of points a game, if he could be averaging 20 points a game, he would be the best player in this draft. But don't you understand? That's not Josh Giddey's game. Josh Giddey's game is so complex and so amazing that all you have to do is sit back and enjoy it. Because you can't put him in a box. And if you try to put him in a box, you just gone and done fucked up. So with that being said, I appreciate every single one of you guys, and I truly wish each and every one of you guys a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you're damn right about Giddey. You know, a lot of people said coming into the draft that his best asset was his passing. Pretty quickly, though, I came out and I said his best asset is his ball handling and his ability to get past his defender, because once you do that, then you can utilize that passing. He's proving it, man. You get him out there in that point guard position, you let him break down his defender and get past him, and there's going to be all sorts of hell to pay for the other team. The defense can't handle him driving to the basket like that. And there was a couple times they just totally forgot him. He was able to get to the basket. There were times he just went past people. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not worried about the rookie rankings, because all those people do is they look at the stats. And he's so much more than the stats. We get the experience to watch him grow up. I know that he's had professional experience before, but this is new for him, and we enjoy the process, and we're really excited about where it's leading and watching the other young guys. I mean, Dort and Bazley, they're everywhere. They're a part of everything we're doing, and they're a huge part of our future. I get really excited when you look at this group, and you count Jeremiah Robinson Earl, you bring SGA back, and I'm looking at a starting lineup that I'm pumped up about. I love that we got Tao playing last night and Poku putting some minutes in. That's a youth movement, and we're seeing it happen. And it's great that these guys like Tao are spending some time at the G League. And then when the opportunity comes up because of injuries and opportunities, he goes out there and he plays really well. Hopefully he earns those minutes because he deserves them. So we're pumped up about what he's been doing and this whole team. But yeah, mostly this is Josh Giddey right now. This is all about Giddey. So thanks for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy your Thanksgiving. We'll see you tomorrow. And as always, this episode was brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.